Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws. And now, you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
We thank you for tuning in to Tomorrow for the weekend of July 13th, Friday the 13th weekend, 2018, and delighted that you're with us. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
Over there, across the room, through the window, well, not through the window, the other side of the window, in the control room is Erasmo, pushing all the buttons, doing his job. Very hard work to make us sound good, but he's doing it. And Horatio, busy with the show out of New York these days, we're delighted that you are with us. Even more delighted when you call in and participate. Not only do you then qualify to win all kind of great goodies, and that's all that's required, by the way. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to do anything else. You do have to participate. Ask a question. Help another listener. Share some tech rage. Share your favorite app. Something along those lines. When we hear you on the air, boom, you win some of our cool Into Tomorrow hot summer giveaway items. And maybe if you've just tuned in, you haven't been hearing us the last couple of hours mentioning many of these items, visit us at intotomorrow.com. Check it out. There's a listing there right near the top of the page. You can click on the post for the hot summer giveaway. And we add stuff almost daily, so do check it out. But you can't just call in and say, hey, Dave, love the show. Send me this. That's not participating. All right. We love that you love the show. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. But join us. Actually say something. Ask a question. Help somebody else. Whatever. Participate.
Again, help us justify the existence of our research department.
That's true. Otherwise, we've got to lay them all off. All, what, 100 of them?
Yeah.
Two. The fact is, we want you to participate on the show, and then it's our pleasure to send you some of this plethora of prizes. Stay tuned, because we're going to share more of them with you this hour in just a few minutes. You don't want to miss it. First, some tech news and commentary. Like a new report suggests that Daily Deals pioneer Groupon is actively and aggressively looking for a potential buyer. The company is valued at around $2.4 billion these days. So, gee, I'm just a little short. Otherwise, I would have bought them. Darn. I wonder if they accept a Groupon. Can you get them at
That's
half price?
Good question.
$1.2 billion.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
Maybe there's a living social deal for Groupon.
Good luck with that.
Facebook announced new tactics to reduce the spread of fake news. Its effort will include combining technology with human reviewers to identify and remove fake accounts, partnering with fact checkers, and promoting news literacy. Facebook will expand its fact-checking programs to new countries, scrutinize photos and videos more closely, and increase the impact of fact-checking through new techniques that could include identifying duplicates and using claim review. They say it'll also monitor repeat offenders more closely and take actions as necessary. It will undertake new efforts to improve measurement techniques and partner with academies to provide greater transparency. Now, Facebook said these efforts will be ongoing indefinitely, admitting that there's still a lot of ground to cover.
Boy, is that an understatement. But at least they're trying. A little something here. Microsoft has released a preview of its Windows 10 update, which includes improvements for Edge, who cares, don't use it, Task Manager, and several security features. The update also will include display changes and certainly some needed bug fixes. And Microsoft just introduced its smallest and cheapest tablet yet, the 10-inch 1.15-pound Surface Go. The tablet is designed as an iPad competitor and will sell for $399 in stores starting August 2nd. So if you're thinking about getting an iPad, but you're a Windows person otherwise, you might want to hang in there after August 2nd, get the Microsoft Surface Go, and then go. Then compute and do all the fun stuff you want to do with that tablet.
There you go. Chinese guests at a Marriott International, the world's largest hotel chain, may soon be able to check in with a quick scan of their facial features. The chain will work in a joint venture with Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba Group to test facial recognition check-ins at two China hotels this month. They say that they have ambitions for a global rollout later. The joint venture said the new technology would help guests jump queues and cut the check-in process to less than a minute compared to at least 3 minutes at a normal counter. Chinese guests will need to scan their IDs, take a photo, and input contact details on an automated machine. The device that will then dispense room key cards after verifying identities and booking information. China is superheading the use of facial recognition for everything from helping control major live events to ordering fast food, but also bolstering a growing domestic surveillance system that has raised fears among human rights activists for privacy being invaded.
Yeah, because you got to worry about that anyway, but interesting. Well, I wonder how they're going to be receptive to that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'll see this technology coming to the U.S. anytime soon just because I see privacy advocates screaming if they saying, oh, you can't scan my face to go in.
But how many years have we been saying, forget it, you don't have privacy anymore anyway.
Exactly.
Technology equals no privacy. That's just the way it's come about. A recent filing with the Federal Communications Commission shows that the Samsung Galaxy Note 9's S Pen will include Bluetooth technology. Though it's still unknown what the Bluetooth remote feature will do, as in Gadget Report, sources suggest it could control music playback. Can you imagine waving it in the air? Maestro, play my music! You'd be able to conduct, perhaps, by waving the stylus pen in the air. I've always liked doing that. You know, you go, and then maestro! You're looking at me like I'm a complete moron. Don't you qualify that in any way.
I'm going to plead the fifth.
But we'll wait and see what that ends up being in terms of the Bluetooth for stylus.
A new feature in iOS 11.4.1, which Apple released earlier this week, is designed to protect against unwanted intrusions through the iPhone's Lightning port. However, the protection may be weak at best. The feature, called USB Restricted Mode, disables data transfer through the Lightning port after an hour of inactivity. According to Apple, a password-protected iOS device that has not been unlocked and connected to a USB accessory within the past hour will not communicate with an accessory or computer, and in some cases might not charge. Users see a message directing them to unlock the device to use the accessories. One possible use for USB restricted mode could be to foil passcode cracking solutions made by companies like Cellebrite and Grayshift, which reportedly have been used by law enforcement to crack iPhones. Users can, of course, turn off the USB restricted mode if they desire to do so. But, you know, if having this mode is going to make my phone not charge if it's been just idle for an hour, I don't know that that's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. I don't see many people thinking, oh, wonderful, let me try that. I don't know. Smart appliances haven't caught on as quickly as other forms of smart home technology, with a YouGov poll finding that many consumers have concerns about price, privacy, and the ability to use connected appliances if they are having internet problems. An important point. If you're stuck with Comcast, for example, and your internet's always going down, just as an example, because we more or less survived that years before we got on to AT&T fiber. But sentiment appears to be improving, and Juniper Research projects 80% annual growth, 80% annual growth of connected appliances through 2023. And it makes sense, but of course, you've got to have the internet up all the time. So if you can't depend on your connection for the internet, always up and down and fading and very, very little speed and things like that, well, then smart home appliances aren't going to work well for you until you get a decent provider.
Well, it's like several times when I've tried to cool the house down before I get there and I launch my Nest app and it says, we're sorry, your Nest device is not connected to the internet. I know that my internet's down at home again. Thank you, Comcast.
Yeah, of course. Because it's not Nest's fault. It's right. Comcast. Oh, boy. And they wonder why we call them that.
Yeah. In more Apple news, Apple plans to expand its audio product line over the next year with new AirPods, HomePods, and possibly studio-quality over-the-ear headphones. No word if they're going to be the Beats brand or not.
Why aren't they calling them HeadPods since everything else is pods?
Yeah, exactly. The new generation of AirPods will feature noise cancellation, be water-resistant, have greater range, according to the report, citing people familiar with the developments. Apple's plans reflect an expanded role for audio in the company's future.
I would imagine that they would. But the whole nonsense with Beats, come on. First of all, it's like the monster headphones. Don't overpay for things like that that you can get far less expensively and at least as good quality, in some cases better, by spending a lot less money. You just want to wear them around your neck as a social thing? Good luck. You know, go for it if you really insist. But that's it. There's no reason to be spending that much more money for Monster or Beats, and they've had a big fight between the two of them anyway, and then Apple in the mix now, and so it's just absurd.
I mean, you're buying the name, and neither one of those names is really worth all that anyway.
No, it's not. It just isn't. Uber wants to take ride-sharing to the next level. More specifically, they want to take it to the sky. The ride-sharing company previously announced, and we've talked about it here on Tech News, that their vision for Elevate, a program that would provide on-demand air transportation, Uber and NASA recently announced that they would be working together to conduct simulations for ride-sharing aircraft. That's going to be interesting. And how the skies will get very crowded and full. But it'll be interesting. I can call an Uber to fly me somewhere. But there's a lot more testing involved before they're ready for that.
Yeah, in my head, I'm hearing all the sound effects from the Jetsons.
No, of course. Very good. And you hardly moved to do that. But good luck to Uber and anyone else trying that, and we'll be happy to test it when it's available. Yeah.
German automaker Daimler AG and auto supplier Bosch Corp will deploy self-driving taxis in California's Silicon Valley region next year as part of a test program of vehicles designed for city driving.
But they won't be flying.
They won't be
flying.
They'll
be driving. All right. Okay.
They're driving themselves. Yeah. The world's largest maker of premium cars and biggest automotive supplier gave few details about their robo-taxi program, described as a passenger shuttle service, and did not reveal which city would host it. They say negotiations with the municipality within the sprawling technology hub of Silicon Valley were still underway. They said this in a conference call with journalists. Executives from the companies would not comment on the potential size of the pilot program, nor how many vehicles would be used, nor customers served. Although California would be the first pilot site, others could follow. They said the vehicles will include a safety driver and a steering wheel.
Well, that's encouraging, if they're paying attention.
Yeah.
That's the key. And what city may be involved is another interesting thing, because what if you're taking a taxi to another city from that city? Does it just stop at the city limit and say, all right, get out and call an Uber or something?
Yes, that's what we'll have to find out. But considering these are both German companies, I'm hoping that we'll be able to get some information at IFA later, next month or
so. Good point. We'll make you in charge of that.
Oh,
so if we don't, it's Chris's fault.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. We have to keep that in mind. Let's talk to George in Tyler, Texas, listening on KTBB. You know, and I want to say they have a slogan. I'm trying to remember what it is. I think it's News Weather Talk, KTBB 97.5 FM. Hello, George.
I'm calling to get some information about parental controls for cell phones and what the best app or applications to use for a teenage device?
Well, that's a good question, too, and it's like the kind of thing we enjoy helping parents with. If you have to ask, you probably already lost this arms race, however. If you're interested in tracking them, iOS, Android, and most carriers will all do that for you, but when it comes to blocking apps, you may be in trouble. Teenagers will typically know how to get around any blocks you put in as soon as there's a solution. And these are black lists, not white lists. So anytime whatever service you use to block the apps can be tricked into thinking this is absolutely any other one, even one that it's never heard of, well, the app is allowed to do what it will do. It's just how they work.
Yeah, now, Android has more options for blocking apps, but they're also more toothless since Android phones allow sideloading, meaning that anything can be made to look different, can be loaded, and ran without an issue. There's a big market of premium apps made free and put up for download on Android. The same process can be used to make them look like they're not the app they really are. Now, you can try something like Family Time for iOS or Android, or RPACT for iOS and AppBlock for Android. But keep your expectations low. The only real solution is trying to get them to understand the risk, because they probably have more knowledge, time, and tech contacts than you. And it's likely that they'll figure out a way around any blocks that you try to put up.
Yeah, George, we hate to give you that bad news, which you probably already realized. But I think you're being a good dad, and you're trying to do the right thing and help out. And hopefully some of the many things that we threw out at you will help and will work. And the other option is you tell the kids, hey, if you want me to take the phone away, then block that app. You know, and maybe that'll help, too. There's been a lot of parents that say they've tried all kinds of things, and restriction and extra chores and whatever. But hopefully some of the things we recommended will give it a shot. And stay tuned, because that's the kind of thing that other listeners, especially those that want some great big summer giveaway prizes, can call in and tell George and others what you've been using with your teens and what's been working and how well it's working. 800-899-INTO. 800-899-4686. Help George and others out, won't you? All the way into tomorrow.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 20ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.20ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 20ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
You know, our smart speakers sometimes are even smarter than you may think. Like, for example, Alexa, what's on?
You're listening to Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline.
Oh, thank you very much. And that's encouraging. We do appreciate that. Yep, she's right. I am Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll be chatting with Alexi Venieri. He's the founder and CEO of Digital Airstrike. They're a social media manager for businesses. So you might want to check that out. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by the OWC Thunderblade. For the creative professional who needs the absolute fastest storage with transfer speeds of up to 2,800 megabytes per second. Learn more at OWCDigital.com.
It's time for our email mystery feature. IFA is one of the largest and oldest tech shows in the world. With this week's look back at IFA's historic past,
here's Chris Graveline.
IFA history, history, IFA line, line.
Since the introduction of the color TV standards, insiders in the broadcast industry and manufacturers saw a need to enhance the picture quality drastically. In 1982, Japan made the first approach with a high-resolution technology, and in 1989, competing groups in the U.S. were developing enhancements to the existing analog technologies towards high resolution. In Europe, a project named Eureka 95 was started to develop a European concept discussed at IFA. That's this week's IFA update, brought to you by Messe Berlin. Be sure to visit ifa-berlin.com.
Affirmative.
Oh, well, that's encouraging. Yeah, absolutely. Michael in Toledo, Ohio, also listens on CKLW. Welcome into tomorrow, Michael.
So I recently bought a gaming laptop, and if I were going to hook up a monitor to it and keyboard and just leave the laptop closed, almost using it just as like a computer tower, is that going to be more work for the laptop than just using the actual laptop display? Will it cause the laptop to heat up more, or is that something that might actually keep the heat down because it is a separate screen and the laptop itself would be closed while operating?
Well, Michael, the screen doesn't really generate a lot of heat. Now, don't take our word for it. You can test that by just touching it when it's on. So you won't be keeping the heat down by using an external monitor. If you were just doing office work or general web browsing, for example, running your laptop with the screen down would probably be just fine. Modern laptops don't heat up all that much, but you're talking about gaming. So gaming in particular will definitely heat up your laptop like few other tasks can. And you may need the best heat dissipation that you can possibly get. Some laptop models do just fine with the lid closed. They don't have vents around the keyboard, and they have fans strong enough to cool the computer, whether it's closed or open. But that's not the case of all of them, certainly.
Now, if you keep the laptop open and off to the side, but the screen being on bothers you, a compromise might be to plug in the external monitor, then press the Windows key and P, and just ask it to use the external monitor only. Now, that should turn off the built-in monitor without compromising any of the airflow. Now, on the other hand, connecting a second monitor, probably for a bigger and better display, will not necessarily overheat your laptop at all. I do it all the time when I'm at home, and if you're nervous about it overheating because the fans are not installed near the keyboard area, you can always close your laptop down to about an inch before it clicks and closes. That way you can have extra air ventilating with the 1 inch that's left open, and it'll run full displays via your monitor instead of both laptop and monitor.
Yeah, we understand, Michael, what you're trying to do, and it makes sense because you've got to be concerned about that. You know, heat is a killer of any electronics, and they all tend to heat up because you've got stuff going on there. And especially if you've got a hard drive versus a solid-state drive, you know, they're heating up. They're moving parts and things. But in general, processors are going to heat up. And other than video editing, there's nothing other than gaming that's going to use up such processing speed and heat things up so much.
Yeah, you can look into some of these cooling pads they have them that plug into the USB port on your computer, and they have their own fans in there that will help keep the temperature down on your laptop as well.
Yeah, don't keep it in your lap. It'll heat up, among other things. So check it all out and join us for more at intotomorrow.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. Call 1-800-958-6699. That's 1-800-958-6699. Again, 1-800-958-6699.
Letting you know what else you just can't live without, I'm Dave Graveline. You're tuned into Tomorrow in our 22-plus years on the air, covering products and services, all kinds of cool things available today and into tomorrow. Most importantly, we want to hear from you, and when you call into the program, we love it when you participate. Of course, the best way to do that is to use the audio option on the free Into Tomorrow app. And that's real easy. Download the app in your favorite app store, available for all kinds of devices, Apple devices, iOS, Android, all sorts of neat stuff. And then use the audio option and participate that way, and you sound like you're right here in the studio with us. Or the old-fashioned way still works, too. Good from anywhere, toll-free in North America. Or you can Skype into us if you'd like. That works, too. 1-800-899-INTO. 800-899-4686. Our next guest is with a leading consumer engagement company, providing the most comprehensive software and managed services platform for social media and all sorts of digital marketing. The founder and CEO of Digital Airstrike is Alexi Veneri. Alexi, welcome into Tomorrow. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for having me into Tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And you do some pretty unique things. First of all, why the name Digital Airstrike? I love it, but how'd that come about?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, my background has always been in sports marketing and automotive. And I found that, you know, when you actually like have a strength behind your marketing, you know, the guys kind of take you a little bit more seriously. But really what we found when I started the company is social media at the time was this nice to have. You know, it's people having conversations. And I'm like, no, I'm one of those marketers that likes, you know, ROI. And I want to know what we're going to get for any time or technology investment. And you want to strike and take action when there's opportunities to engage with consumers. So it was really, you know, that was one of the reasons. And we also find working with businesses, they're great at their business, and it's kind of their troops on the ground. You know, engaging with consumers usually in still kind of traditional brick-and-mortar businesses, and we wanted to be that air cover and be able to strike and give them that advantage online.
I love it. I mean, great analogies, and it makes perfect sense because it's exactly what you want to do. But now I wonder, because when you talk about engaging with their consumers and their customers and so forth, it seems to me that with social media, most, if not almost all, I guess, of the engagement is seemingly when people have a problem with their product or their service, or, you know, the company doing something that they didn't think was appropriate. Do you find that to be the case? And then it's a matter of how they strike back, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly an element of it. I think that that tends to be what gets focused on with some of the business owners, because they do take it personal. You've started the business, you know, your name's maybe on the shingle, and someone's got a problem, and certainly all of the social networks now, it feels like, have a review element to it. But that's no longer just kind of the only thing that happens. It's pretty incredible, the shift. I started the company almost 8 years ago, and this was before social media advertising. It was before a lot of the engagement tools. And what we've really seen is consumers today just expect an immediate response, whether they, you know, write on your wall, or they private message you, or they tweet at the business, or they check in. So it's not all negative. And in fact, if you encourage it to be a community and a forum where you can engage with them, I mean, we find by and large those negative reviews are kind of the smaller portion of what we do in terms of helping consumers with, you know, engagement with those businesses. So It's been a fun evolution for me, because certainly there are those instances, but I love to kind of, you know, make a service save and help the business turn that around too. And oftentimes when you do that, those originally unhappy consumers become your most loyal kind of fans going forward when you fix the problem.
Now, that's a good point, Alexi, because I've done it, as a matter of fact, sitting in a store and being upset with something, or spoiled milk, you know, a bunch of bottles still in the refrigerator case. It's like, doesn't anybody look at this? So I'll do a tweet or something, and then I'll get immediate response. And sure, I mean, it seems like within moments, here's a manager coming down the aisle having somebody remove all the spoiled milk or whatever. And it's like, wow, it does work. And while it was a negative, it did turn, you know, the proverbial turn lemons into lemonade, I guess, or in this case into fresh milk. But then the positive is you got their attention, and it might have been negative, but you know what? I will shop there again because they care. They're paying attention. Hopefully they learn from this. And now somebody who's in charge of that is going to keep, I hope, a closer eye. So then it is a positive engagement in the long run.
Exactly right. And it's really public, too. So it's no longer back in the day where you had a problem with a business and you'd walk in or you'd phone, or even email seems like archaic these days, right?
Yes.
But in those cases, it was between you and the business. The world didn't know. Well, now the world knows.
Yeah.
So it's even more, you know, relevant and crucial for those businesses to really have a process, a plan, technology, a partner to be able to first know about it. You know, that's where we kind of started, where these businesses didn't know these conversations were happening or that there were these negative comments online. And we not only helped them with that as almost air traffic controllers, mm-hmm. alerting them and assisting them potentially with responses, but we find that it's really important to have a process to, let's say, through a survey, whether you still email or you want to text consumers a survey, ask all of your customers how things are going, because it's the ones that are happy that tend to not necessarily seek out those public forums to tell the world unless you make it happy for them. So we like to give the businesses really a level playing field to go, look, there's always going to be a challenge, always, with every business at some point. How you handle it speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. But let's, you know, let everybody kind of talk about their experience, and you'll find, by and large, you know, most of the consumers are really happy, and it's cool to have them be like verified consumers. And, you know, there's that trust factor and transparency that in today's business you just have to have.
And I'm glad you bring that point up, too, because I'm sure you see it as I do, that you see a lot of companies that don't appear to be responding or even looking at their social media. And it's like, if they allow people to just post without reviewing it first or something like that, and you go through this whole scrolling of nothing but negatives, and you wonder, there's no responses and there's no screening of it or reviewing or even deleting posts where somebody might be so upset they're cursing at them and whatnot. And you think, why do they bother to have a social media site if they're not monitoring it? That's got to be frustrating to you as a pro in the business.
Well, it's an opportunity because those are the people that have to work with us.
Yeah, good.
That's why we're in business. It's true. What usually happens, I'm telling you, is they had an intern or you know, someone come in that they, you know, kind of maybe mistakenly assumed because of their age they could do social media. And then they it was like a set and forget. Yeah. And that person may have left or, you know, they're just not aware of it. And the cost of ignoring is huge. And you look at it as the consumer, which I do, and I always approach it from that perspective and really is, what's the solution here? And there's lots of different ways we can approach it with technology or some managed services, but you've got to be on it. And, you know, they just don't even know the business they're losing because consumers are seeing it. And it's, you know, that some of the changes we've seen, a digital airstrike where when we started, for example, there was no way to advertise the social networks. It was content. You know, you could even, there were businesses with like personal pages. It was just kind of all a mess. Now it's amazing. Not only are those comments in reviews or being messaged or on the wall or being, you know, in tweets, they are actually in the ads themselves that businesses are paying someone to promote, and they don't realize that there can be months of comments from random consumers, whether or not they've ever purchased from that business, in the actual comment field on, let's say, a paid ad on Facebook. Hmm. So it's just kind of, you know, it is kind of the Wild West out there, and I think that's why they need to really have someone that's well-versed managing this for them or work with a partner, because you know, you can do more harm than good, to your point. Why have the page if you're not going to manage it or respond?
Yeah.
And that's exactly right. So, but when you do it right, it's so powerful for a fraction of the cost of really traditional advertising.
And as long as we think social media has been around, because a lot of us have been using it for so many years, you're right. It still really is the Wild West out there in that sense. And do companies, though, find it difficult or have to find either a person or, the bigger the company is, a team of persons to just monitor social media and respond and deal with things that pop up, whether it's a tweet or Facebook or an Instagram or whatever?
Yeah, it's still a mixed bag out there, and you'd be surprised. Some of the largest, like, national companies have some folks that really, you know, maybe aren't as well-versed as they should be in how to manage this.
Mm.
So I think one of the biggest mistakes I see companies make is they will just rely on more of a traditional ad agency to handle it. And those agencies are not set up to make money off of it or understand it, really. They're still kind of back in the day of, you know, let's go through some traditional advertising and make a commission. So our best advice to them is truly find tools or technology or a real digital partner that this is what they do. They're not doing anything else. They've got actual rapport and relationships with the social media network. So we actually have real people, believe it or not, at Facebook, at Google, at Yelp that we deal with every day.
Actual real human beings.
There's real humans. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've been to all of their offices. It's awesome.
Wow.
But we actually partner with them on the behind-the-scenes technology so we can monitor, so we can leverage the networks for business and oftentimes really impact, you know, what they'd be willing to do for our clients in terms of some connectivity or you know, more timely alerts or different ways we can integrate marketing offers, for example. So that's pretty cool. So you want to make sure you find somebody that truly does this because it's really important. Or, you know, with someone internally, if they focus on it, there are certainly a lot of ways you can do this manually. It's just very time consuming. And I think businesses need to weigh the pros and cons. If you're going to hire someone that's become an expert in this, you know, what's the cost of their salary? What's the cost of their time? And we do find they end up moving around. You know, I'm a social media expert. Everybody thinks they want that. Let's say that's what the candidate says.
Yeah.
You know, they may be with you for a year, but what about when they leave? And do you have a policy in place to protect passwords and logins? Do you really understand the work they've done while they're with you? And have you documented that process so it can be, you know, transferable? So, you know, it's a big deal, and even a basic tip we provide all businesses is you make sure in your employee handbooks you have a social media policy. You know, can your employees go out there and speak on your behalf, just like you wouldn't let them, let's say, jump on your radio program.
In fact, what an important point that is, too, Alexi, because they are, in fact, now your official spokesperson.
Mm-hmm.
DigitalAirstrike.com. Love that name and how appropriate it is, too. And we'll link you there, too, when you visit
us at IntoTomorrow.com.
It's our pleasure, Alexi, and by all means, thanks for joining us. We'll get you back soon. Into Tomorrow continues.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 888-912-1332. 888-912-1332. 888-912-1332. Call right now. 888-912-1332.
Do you feel like a tech outsider? Well, you know you can come with us as we bring you into tomorrow. We do it each and every week right here on what is no doubt your favorite radio station, podcast, stream, or however else you happen to listen into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
And Erasmo's in the control room, and you should be on our phone line. If you've never called in, OMG, what are you waiting for? Or if it's been a long time, especially now with the big summer giveaway going on, you certainly want to call in. That's 800-899-INTO, 800-899-4686. Anytime, as young Cameron likes to say,
call in, win stuff. Thank you.
No, thank you, Cam.
The Cool Into Tomorrow Hot Summer Giveaway.
Ah, you see, now you know why you want to call in. Wait until you hear some of these items. No promises, no guarantees, but make a note of two or three of them and mention that when you call in and actually participate on the program. A question, help for other listeners, share your favorite app, whatever. Just participate where we hear you on the air, and you can win any number of these things, like...
From WeBoost, we've got Drive Sleek cell phone signal boosters valued at $200 each, and Drive 4GX cell phone signal boosters valued at $480 each.
Yikes! From MagDoc, one of the Ventev companies, their magnetic car mount for phones. We got their Dashport quick charge enabled car charger, and a Wallport quick charge enabled wall charger with two USB ports, as well as their global charging hub, capable of charging devices in 150-plus countries, all from Ventev. Neat stuff. You might want to win.
SF Planet sent us a huge box full of stuff, including a Foss Power IPX7 waterproof speaker, a Fossman Ultrasonic Aromatherapy oil diffuser with remote control, and Fossman Ultra-Thin Indoor HD TV antennas.
Are you into drones? Well, Moda sent us their JetJats, world's smallest streaming drones. We got a couple of them valued at $130 apiece.
Cedar Electronics has sent a Cobra Dual View HD Dash View System with iRadar valued at $230 and an Escort Max 360C, the first driver alert system for the connected car valued at $700.
$700? Holy moly! From HZO, their protected Motorola Bluetooth headphones. They sent five of those to share with lucky members of our audience that participate on Into Tomorrow.
From A10, a UH3230 USB-C multi-port dock with power charging valued at $320.
From PhotoPro, their MS4C cell phone mini phone tripod, their pincer clamp heavy-duty mini tripod, and a whole bunch of other goodies from PhotoPro. All you need to do is do what, Chris?
Call in and get your question on the air and have it answered.
There you go. Participate on Into Tomorrow and win some of these fabulous things. And we didn't have time to get to everything, which is very typically the case. So we want you to visit us at IntoTomorrow.com and just click on the big summer giveaway. You'll see the post at the top of the page. change, and then you can win stuff. It really is that easy. Just call in, win stuff, and join us on the program. It's our annual big summer giveaway. You have fun with it, too.
And while you're at intotomorrow.com, if you're already not already a subscriber to our free once-a-week tech newsletter, you'll want to do that because a red box will pop up. You enter your email address, and then you just answer the click the link that it's going to get in your email.
That's true. You'll get a subsequent email with a link. It's called a double opt-in program because we don't spam anyone. And then you click the link, and voila, it'll say, welcome into tomorrow. You'll now get our once-a-week free tech newsletter. Among other things, tech news. We've got a list of guests. We've got a list of current prizes that week, etc. And things like Beth's tech tip, college prep help online this week, like checklists for what to bring, and roommate advice she provides.
And where will Alexa show up next? In this week's tech newsletter, we'll take you inside Amazon's $100 million push to put their digital assistant everywhere.
There you go. Subscribe to the Into Tomorrow tech newsletter. It's easy at intotomorrow.com.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand. And many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-665-6113, 800-665-6113, 800-665-6113.
Don't forget, you can always meet us for show notes and everything else at intotomorrow.com. Adam in Cleveland, Mississippi, listening on Supertalk 93.7.
Hey, I just took a class on computer security and learned a lot about it. It looks like it's actually going to outdo performance moving forward as the biggest thing pushing the market. But so I just heard y'all talk about upgrading to iOS 12 in beta form. And I just advise to warn listeners also that on top of bugs, there's inevitably going to be tons of security vulnerabilities putting users' information at risk should they upgrade. So I'd recommend most listeners wait until the full rollout to upgrade.
And that's good advice. Thank you, Adam. We appreciate that. Mike in Michigan, listening on AM 800 CKLW.
I have an old hard drive from a very old system that locked up on me, and I have pictures on it I'd like to get off. I skipped the hard drive, got rid of the computer. But I'd like to know if there's any way I can access this hard drive from another source to retain my pictures.
Well, Mike, assuming that hard drive wasn't what caused the old computer to lock up, you should be able to read it. Your best bet is probably to buy a cheap enclosure, dock, or cable, and connect your old hard drive that way. Since you mentioned it's very old, check the connector. You may have an IDE drive. Have a look at it before you buy anything. But either way, you should be able to find an adapter that lets you access the drive from a USB port.
You should move your pictures off the drive as soon as you can. If your drive is very old, your data or its components may not be aging very well. And as time goes by, it'll be harder to find devices or drivers to interface your old drive to your newer computer. So it's a good idea to transfer anything you don't want to lose while you still can.
Yeah, it's kind of the thing we remind on every week's show. Backup, backup, backup. It's very important. Anything that you might want to have saved otherwise, documents, files, pictures, videos, anything important, always backup your data. So that you have it, intotomorrow.com.
Bringing you the latest in consumer electronics and technology, this has been Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline. To participate with Dave and his tech geniuses and win prizes anytime 24/7, use our free Into Tomorrow app for your iPhone, Android, and netbooks. Available in your app store or call 1-800-899-INTO. That's 1-800-899-4686. Be sure to visit our website anytime to read our show notes and watch our ITTV videos at intotomorrow.com. And join us next week as we bring you further Into Tomorrow.